In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
And the sisters, what a gospel reading. Perhaps it's one of our favorite. Perhaps not. I think sometimes when we hear this gospel reading, we get a little bit nervous. Our heart begins to pitter-patter a little faster. Maybe we reach for our wallet or our purse to hold it tight. We wonder about what the sermon's going to be like after hearing a challenging gospel. That question. Very challenging. In preparation for this sermon, I turned to my trusty book, and it's entitled, What Christians Know About Finances But Don't Want to Admit, a.k.a. the Bible. Our instruction in everything comes from the Word of God, including finances. And you know, God, who is our teacher, sets the stage in His providence for every lesson that He's going to impart to us. And as we heard the gospel today about finances, the Lord has set the stage beautifully. If you've been following financial news of late, you would know that all the major U.S. stock indexes closed at record highs on Friday. Everyone aware of that? Some of you might be, right? Others maybe not. Record highs, all the major indexes. It's almost as if our land has produced so much crops, we don't know what to do with it. We got to maybe build bigger barns or something. Got to do something. One thing for sure, we got to eat, drink, and be merry. Wait, no, sorry. I think that's wrong, right? Instead, maybe, Lisa, Nancy, you're in the back. Maybe pass the plate around. Maybe pass the plate. We'll do that a second time today. No, of course not. Don't be a fool, Father. We need to keep the money invested, right, for a rainy day. We need to keep it for our longevity, for the future. So then, if not today, then we might eat, drink, and be merry. We'll do something of an exercise today. I'll ask you some questions, and hopefully you can provide for me some honest answers. But first, I'm going to take our situation where, you know, we had such great increase in our economy and in the stock market. We have all of this wealth. I'm going to take this and twist it a little bit. What would we think if perhaps all of that money that was invested was misappropriated, misused, or taken by those who we entrusted the money to? Imagine that just for a moment. Not too hard to imagine that, by the way, right? When we think about past economic situations. But what would we do if that did transpire? Would we be happy? Would we be sad? Would we be devastated, perhaps? I think we might be a little bit angry. We might look for some accountability. The people that we entrusted with our funds have taken off with it and left us with nothing. We'd be very upset. How many of us, now here's the question, how many of us would be willing to invest more? Raise your hands. The people who stole your money have run off with it. No one would really want to give them more, right? We wouldn't trust them with it because they had proved unfaithful. We might even say they deserve to be punished, perhaps, right? Although in our day and age, not too many people are held accountable. It would be just, though, to hold them accountable for what they've done, without question. Perhaps we might also look at their bosses, those who hired them, and say, well, why did you hire these people? Didn't you investigate them? Didn't you interview them? Didn't you test them to make sure that they were honorable and ready to be entrusted with our future, our livelihood? We might ask that question. You think about an interview for someone who's going into one of the financial markets, employment there. Person might ask them many questions about how honest they are, what type of integrity they have. You might even do the $20 bill test. Anyone know that? Okay, it's something like this. You know, you bring someone in for the interview, and then after the interview, you walk out and you drop a $20 bill on the floor, just like it was an accident. And then you wait to see what that person's going to do with that $20 bill. Are they going to say, oh, I'm sorry you dropped this? Or are they just going to bend down, pick it up, put it in their pocket? Right? It's a test, an exploration to see if they're worthy of having real accounts entrusted to their care, real money. I think all of us understand that we're not going to invest what is most important with someone who has done poorly with that which is least important. We have to realize that those people in our American situation who have been entrusted with wealth and the responsibility to care for that properly are all in this room. The investors that have received the master's wealth are you and I. We are the ones who have been given, if you will, the $20 bill test. God has entrusted to us the lesser wealth to see if we'll be faithful in it so that he can give us the greater wealth. Doesn't he say in the parable of the talents to the one who is faithful, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. In another situation, doesn't he say, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is money, who will entrust the true riches to you? If you have not been faithful in what is another's, who shall give to you what is your own? The Lord is testing us in this life, giving us of his own bounty, of his own treasure, of his own goods, of his own life. He gives it to us so that we might be his stewards. We might do with it according to his plans, his desires, his initiatives. And that, of course, brings us to Stewardship 101, the first lesson. What is Stewardship 101? What's the first rule? It ain't yours. That's the first rule. You go to work at a bank. You go to work at a financial firm. It ain't yours, right? What has been entrusted to our care is not ours with regard to ownership. Stewardship 101. We cannot forget that. But our God, he loves us so much, and he gives us this lesson so that we might do well in our stewardship, so that he might entrust to us greater gifts. And what are the greater gifts? But his Holy Spirit, the spirit of generosity and love and care for others and self-sacrifice. The only way to receive this Holy Spirit is to keep the commandments and to handle our stewardship as the master dictates. Right? The one who shows compassion and mercy will of necessity be filled with the spirit of mercy and compassion. The one who acts generously will be filled with a generous spirit. And of course, the inverse is true. The Lord has much to give to us, and he wants to reward us. In the book of Proverbs, we read, he who gives alms to the poor, right? The command of God, lends to God, and God shall reward him according to his gifts. What is the reward? Is it more money? No, no. It's of infinitely more value, the gift of God. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of grace. St. Maximus, in talking about this relationship, how God gives us of his own and then expects us to give it back to him and to others. He says, the divine word, the word of God, advises us to offer gifts to God, back to him, in order to show us his infinite goodness. And what's his infinite goodness? that he acts as if he hadn't given us anything beforehand and was receiving our offerings as true gifts. And he attributes everything entirely to us. In this way, he shows that his goodness towards us is great and inexpressible, since he accepts as ours those things which are actually his, but which we've offered back to him. He says that he owes us as if these things weren't his in the first place. Have you ever heard the expression, it's good to have God as your debtor? We have God as our debtor when we give to the poor, which is, of course, just what he's already given to us. But he works it for our benefit. And he gives us something even greater, his own grace. You know, when we hear these teachings, the gospel, the sermon, quotes from the scriptures, from the fathers, analogies, parables, we hear all of these things. The chances of us really modifying our financial plans, though, probably are slim to none. Let's be honest. Let's at least leave today with a little bit of truth. Let's be honest with ourselves. We're probably not going to change the way we do our finances. But let's look for some substitutes. Let's find some other ways that we can manage it, so our consciences will at least not convict us so much. One thing we could do, so we can keep our barns filled with our possessions and our money, is we can do service through our talents and through our time. That's one thing that we can do. We can offer to God our time and our talents, right? And many times, that's kind of how stewardship works for us. We really want the money, so we're saying, all right, I'll give God some of my time and I'll give some of my talents. And then we kind of say, well, I'm being a good steward, right? At least I got 2 out of 3. The only problem is, this parable, this lesson, is not about time and talents. It's about cold, hard cash. The one thing we don't want it to be about, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. And why? Because almsgiving is so important. St. Isaac the Syrian, he says, Nothing brings a man closer to God and gives him serenity, peace, as almsgiving. Nothing brings a man closer to God and gives him peace as almsgiving. Nothing. There's no substitute. There's no other way around it. It must be this. It's because where our treasure is, there our heart will be also, and we want our heart to be with God. Our treasure must, of necessity, be with him. We must become, as the Lord said today in the gospel, rich in God. Rich in God. And for this, brothers and sisters, we need the poor. St. Isaac goes on to say, we need the poor, since he who receives alms fulfills a great need, the greatest of all. If the poor did not exist, the largest portion of our salvation would be overturned. The largest portion of our salvation would be overturned if there were no poor. For we would not have anywhere to bestow our wealth. So the poor man who appears useless is actually the most useful of all. What do you do when you have so many crops that you want to build bigger barns? You give it to the poor. Right? It makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense. So one temptation, though, that we've already addressed is doing something other than almsgiving, turning to other forms of stewardship instead, when they should be all coupled together. Another temptation that we really must face, and this is big for us in our American situation, is the blurred line between necessity and luxury. The blurred line between necessity and luxury. The one line that gets blurred, the demarcation gets destroyed, is between the difference between being a steward and being an owner, right? We've lost perspective on that. But we also have lost perspective on necessity and luxury. We think about Our American situation, we have houses, properties, cars, possessions, we go on vacations, we dine out, we wear fancy clothes, we have every technological gadget out there. How many of these things do we need? How expensive do they have to be? How frequently do we have to do them? How extravagant must they be? I think, brothers and sisters, just as hard as it is to get the right perspective on stewardship versus ownership, it's as hard to have the right perspective on necessity versus luxury. None of us in this room, by giving a little to those in need, will go from luxury to necessity. We'll still be in luxury on the spectrum, right? From necessity to luxury. If we give a little to the poor, we're still enjoying so much luxury. So much. By comparison to people in other parts of the world, certainly, but also the people in our own society. We have blurred vision. And today is another opportunity to have things clarified by God, by His Word. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to remember what's going on, that we are being tested by God, that we are all undergoing, if you will, that $20 bill test. What are we going to do with what's been entrusted to our care? I think we know what we should do, right? If we don't do what we should do, we know that not only will we be held accountable, right? We just said earlier, we would do the exact same thing to others. It's only just to do that. But we would also not receive that which is greater, that which God truly wants to give to us. Because we just said earlier, we would not invest in someone who's untrustworthy. And our sisters, finances are very simple. Very simple. Let us be people who heed the lesson and who become good stewards, who become rich in godliness, who receive the Holy Spirit and partake of every good thing, every bounty, every wealth that God has for us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.